I'm still on my first walk from the new area, and I'm standing at a tree, quite a large tree. It's a common hookthorn, and it's probably at the height of the gable top of an average single-storied house. It's got a fork, and the one side has been torn down. And at first I thought, okay, well, it rotted and it fell down. And when I got a bit closer, the wood still seemed quite healthy. So I thought maybe wind or even lightning. But it's not the tallest tree around, so it's unlikely that it could have been lightning. And wind, it just didn't seem like it could be wind. Because it's lying at about 90 degrees, roughly, to the direction in which they've been leaning, which is the direction one would have expected to break if it had been wind. So I don't think wind. But then I noticed that the branch ends that were still green, because the part that had fallen down was still alive, and the branch ends have been stripped of leaves, and the ends of the branches seem to have been chewed off in some places. And when I looked around, I saw more trees that have been broken, branches broken off, some partly pushed over, others completely uprooted, and the roots have been chewed off. So this was the work of an elephant or elephants. Now what's interesting about this is that it's extremely far south for an elephant to be found. They do need water. They can survive for several days without water, but they do need water eventually, every fifth day at least or so, perhaps even more frequently. And this area is quite arid. Now, I can only assume that in the last rainy seasons that we've had, one bull or maybe a small bull herd had ventured this far down south. You do find these bull herds, sometimes even single bulls of the very old ones, sometimes wander around completely alone or in the company of younger ones, which are called askaris. Unlikely that it would have been a breeding herd with cows and young ones, because the matriarch wouldn't allow them to wander into such an arid area where the calves would be in danger. And I looked around, I couldn't find any tracks. So that elephant or elephants had been here quite long ago, probably the previous season even, because otherwise I would still have been able to find some evidence of their tracks somewhere. Now, they've stripped off leaves from the ends of the branches and chewed some of them, despite the thorns there. Now, it's interesting that a tree will only make thorns where it's necessary. And high up, where the top branches are, it's less necessary for the tree to have thorns. So there the thorns are fewer. So if the elephant pushes down those branches that are near the top, then there would be less thorns for them to contend with when they strip off the leaves, although they can actually take quite a lot of punishment with their trunks. But these common hookthorns have got quite vicious hooks, but nowhere near the hooks of the what is known as the blackthorn that are found in this area. More of a small tree, shrub type of bush that form dense thickets. And these blackthorn have got extremely vicious hook thorns. And I can't see any evidence of feeding being done on the blackthorn. I know that if you have to penetrate these blackthorns, the only way you can probably do it when it's one of those thickets, you have to crawl through it, almost on your stomach. So very vicious thorns on these blackthorns. Now here's something extremely interesting to me, which I didn't expect to find here, and I actually took quite a bit of head scratching to try and place it. It's little globules of foam about the size of a golf ball that cling to the grass and some of the weed stems. The foam bubbles are about a millimeter across, and there are quite a few of them in this area. And I eventually figured out that they are made by a little insect called a spittle bug. And these insects suck the moisture out of the cells of the plant they're on, and then they secrete this foam. And they lay their eggs inside, and of course their grubs hatch inside, and it protects them from the heat and so on. And maybe they also live off parts of the foam. Very interesting and unusual to find foam globules in such an arid area as this. The wind has picked up a bit now, and that has enabled me to spot some gemsbok. They are moving across a gap in the foliage. I have to be very careful now because I find that they are extremely alert. They have very sharp senses and they tend to spook very quickly and run. So let's hope I can watch them. They're moving in single file. They're unaware of me. They're walking across this gap at probably about 50 or 60 paces away from me. But the wind is making enough noise so that they can't hear me. And they can't smell me because the wind is in my favor. They are wonderfully interesting animals. They are true desert animals. They are so well adapted to heat and arid conditions that they don't need water at all. They can survive without water. And fascinatingly, it has been told that the sand people, the bushmen of the Kalahari, actually use moisture from the stomach. It has a lot of moisture in it, and they squeeze out this moisture and strain it through grass or something, and then they can drink it. So despite it not actually drinking, it accumulates so much moisture in its stomach. It's specially adapted. It's temperature control, so that it does start cooling down too early. Its temperature apparently rises quite a bit before it starts, the body starts cooling itself down. And the blood that goes to the brain is specifically cooled through arteries that run through the nasal passages. This is a fascinating animal. This looks like a herd of females, of cows. I haven't seen a bull pass. Probably a small herd of cows. They typically come in herds of 5, 6, 10, 12, 15 or so. And the bulls are, some of the bulls are territorial bulls, the strongest ones. And they keep a territory which they maintain and protect. And they will herd females into their territory. So it could be that these females belong to a particular territorial bull. Speaking of marks on vegetation that I saw earlier from what I suspect are elephants, gemsbok will spar with shrubs and young trees and so on. And so will eland. And both of them, the bulls, will almost destroy sometimes the vegetation. These gemsbok are grazers, but they will also browse a bit if there's not enough grass. And they will dig up, they've got sharp hooves, pointed hooves, and they will dig up roots and tubers and so on, and eat those, and probably that's where lots of their moisture comes from. They're fascinatingly interesting animals. I want to start heading back to camp now. I guess it's about 12 kilometers or so back, 10 to 12 kilometers back. The GPS says 10, but that's the straight line, and one doesn't walk in a straight line in a veld. You have to move around vegetation and obstacles and so on, and I sometimes follow game paths for periods, which takes me off course slightly, But I find it saves a lot of energy if you can find a game path, even if it's not heading directly in the direction you want to go. So it'll take me a bit more than 10 kilometers to get home. But I think this recording is now quite long, and I'm going to stop it now. And we'll talk again later.